Good morning, everyone. Today is the day that the Lord made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We'll start with the old song, There's Power in the Blood, this morning. There's power in the blood. Let's sing Blessed Assurance, the old hymn, Blessed Assurance.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you with us, and good to have Brother Monty's Shoulders with us this morning to preach to us and talk about his work that he's going to be doing in Belize. I know he needs our prayers, and try to look at up that country and see where he was at and everything. And so it just is a lot of troubles down that way, and a lot of trials and drugs and different things. And I'm sure the crimes down that way is really bad. So he's going to definitely need our prayers and his family also as they go do that work for the Lord. Appreciate him being here this morning, being with us. And I ask y'all to pray for him as he preaches and tells us about his work that the Lord's leading him to do down there in Belize. Does anyone have anything on their heart this morning, prayer requests or anything? If not, keep praying for those that are lost, especially. They need to be saved. Of course, everybody's seen too late. Anything at all? If not, Brother Brad, you lead prayer this morning?
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, for I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the shadows appear, and the night draweth near, in the day, oh, it's past and gone. At the river I stand, got my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stand, for I'm tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Thank you, Brother John. That was beautiful. Very glad to have Miss Ashley back with us today playing the piano over here. It's always a blessing. We'll do another congregational song, The Lifeboat, 308. 308, Ashley.
Say good morning. Appreciate the good singing today. Thankful to be in the Lord's house this morning. We appreciate so much in the invitation to come and to speak to the church today and to worship with you. As you have heard, me and my wife will be leaving. It'll be next Saturday on the 14th, early in the morning, to go to Belize to endeavor in the work of the Lord there that He's called me to. And we certainly desire and interest in your prayers as we go that way. We've been locked out since last, we were supposed to go in March of this year. And because of the COVID, they shut down the airports and land borders, and we were unable to go. But in the meantime, we've been preaching on the radio, in a radio program there, and we're just praying that many heard the gospel. We're hoping there's some even saved when we get there, that through the preaching on the radio program. This morning, we're recording the service, recorded the good singing, and this broadcast we will put on air there in Belize. So you all singing might be famous in Belize. You might have to all come down there and sing for us, and we would love that. But pray for me this morning. Got a message on my heart that I want to share with you as well as the folks in Belize as we come today. And the title of the message today is going to be The Doctrine of Salvation. There's no other more important doctrine than the doctrine of salvation. If you don't get that right, you've missed it all. You can get everything else right, but if you miss the doctrine of salvation or get it wrong, you're going to miss heaven. That's the whole reason I'm going to heaven. It has nothing to do with my works. It has nothing to do with ever deserving it. It's by grace that I'm saved through faith, trusting in the work of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, I want to take a few scriptures out of it, and you can walk with me this morning. And if you want to write down these scriptures as I go through them, we'll try to get through them here. But the first thing I want to point out in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans is where I want to read a few verses of scripture. And this is the Apostle Paul. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And that's, I have a great desire. You could replace that with, instead of Israel, Belize. Not only Belize, I want the whole world to be saved. I want you, if you're lost here today, to be saved. Because that's, you get saved, you get the gift of eternal life. And I'm alive forevermore because of what Jesus did for me. But the Apostle Paul had a great desire to see them saved. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So the Apostle Paul is talking here about, you know, the Jews, his people, Israel, and he is saying that they have a zeal to do good works, is what he was talking about, but not of knowledge. They try to establish their own righteousness. And I want you to know this morning, you can never establish your own righteousness. No matter how holy you try to be and how good you try to be, you can't in and of yourself be holy enough to be righteous to go to heaven. So I'm going to lay out this morning what Baptist doctrine is on the doctrine of salvation. We believe a person must come before God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You can't have salvation without sorrow. It doesn't exist. Not true salvation. You can have a Band-Aid make you feel a little bit better. You can just go about, make a mental decision and just go about your life and try to be Christian-like and mimic the acts of Christ. But none of that will ever get you to heaven. And so in Psalms 34:18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalms 51:17 says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, will not despise." So we believe that there must be a godly sorrow. That's what the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." We believe, first of all, you must have a sorrow, and that godly sorrow compared to worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is, you know, my life's a mess, and I've just got so much going on, and I just am miserable, and things just aren't going right. That's not the kind of sorrow he's talking about. He's talking about a godly sorrow, and I believe that godly sorrow that worketh repentance is a sorrow that comes from God. His Holy Spirit breaks your heart, crushes the gospel. Through the gospel, he breaks your heart, and you realize and recognize that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner. One time I was riding with a man to work, and we rode together for almost a year on a job we was working on. We would share ride together because it was quite about an hour from our house. One day he asked me, he said, What do you have to do to be saved? And I began to tell him my experience and tell him what an awful sinner I was, and I was deserving of the punishment of hell. That because my sin, I'm a sinner. But I began to tell him how I was not just a sinner, but I'm a sinner now saved by grace. That I didn't deserve it. And I began to tell him these things. He said, "So you're telling me that I deserve to go to hell?" I said, "Yes, sir." He got mad. He said, "Stop the truck." We was out in the middle of nowhere. He said, "Stop the truck." I pulled over. He said, "I ain't riding with you. You ain't going to tell me that I'm..." I said, "You asked the question, sir. I just gave you the answer, the truth." Listen, the truth sometimes hurts. It does me. But listen, what the world needs today, you know, many of you, I'm sure, are disappointed this week and all these feelings that you have. But what, you know what's going to change the world, our world, and change America? It's not a political revival. It's a spiritual revival. How do you change someone's heart? 50% of this nation thinks differently than the church does, than the gospel. How do we change that? You can pass a law and say, "Well, you can't believe that way," but that's not how we're going to gain. How we're going to gain is we need to preach the gospel and let God change hearts. And when he changed their hearts, listen, a woman won't want to get an abortion when God changed her heart. I believe we need to go to work. Instead of putting all that energy we've put into this political battle that's gone on, let's take that same passion, that same energy, and let's put it towards loving those that don't know the Lord and don't understand and have never had this godly sorrow and never has it worked repentance. God can do that. And if that happens, friends, that's real change. Listen, if the Lord doesn't build the house, it's built in vain. And this morning, people need to be saved. S-A-V-E-D. And the Bible talks about that. Do you know people today that you ask them, "Are you saved?" And I want you to understand that I see a lot of people using that word meaning a lot of different things in the world, in the religious world we live in today. And it's important that you don't just say, "Are you saved?" but tell me about it. I believe there's essential elements to salvation. And the very first one is what we're talking about here now. The first element that must be present in a testimony is you had to have sorrow. You can't come to God and just take him as your own. You can't just accept him. He has to accept you. And he only accepts you when you come down and he helps you turn your heart from sin unto God. I couldn't even turn myself. I couldn't change myself. But God can. That's regeneration. That's being born from above. It wasn't something that I did. What I did, though, was I surrendered to the Spirit that was crushing my heart, saying, "You're a sinner." What you do with that is important. Some people get crushed by the Holy Spirit and realize they're a sinner, but then someone comes along and says, "Oh, just accept Jesus. Do you believe?" Friends, that's dangerous. Do you just believe? No. It's got to be more than that. Listen, I don't need to tell you you're saved. You need to tell me when God saves you. There's a difference. There's a lot of people today trying to tell people they're saved. Oh, you're okay. And reassure them. Listen, if your assurance doesn't come from the Holy Spirit of God, you need to go get it. It's important. Most important thing in your life is to know that you're saved. It starts with a godly sorrow. Listen, Acts 2 and 37 says this, and this is what we believe, that the Holy Spirit convicts a person of their sins. And Acts 2, 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So as they were preaching, they were pricked in their heart. Here's what John 6 and 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." There must be a Holy Spirit drawing. There must be a conviction, a contrition, a godly sorrow. We can say it in different ways, but it affects you in your soul. And I got in, David said it this way. He said, "The pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." He said, "Then I cried to the Lord and he helped me. He removed my tears and my feet from falling." And I can't quote it exactly, but you know, I believe that's his testimony. And it has the elements. A testimony must have the elements of true salvation. And it starts with godly sorrow. Now, We believe that everyone must have a new birth experience. We're talking about a time and a place where that you cried out, you felt that sorrow, you cried out to God, and God gave you peace. That can be explained in a lot of different ways. I've heard a lot of different testimonies in my lifetime and in the ministry. People explain it in different ways. But ultimately, it all comes down to the same thing. There was sorrow, and God took it away, and I had peace. That's salvation. But it's all God. It's not, this preacher told me to repeat this prayer, and then he assured me that's all you need to do. Friends, blessed assurance comes from God's Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people today trying to say that you can know you're saved because you are mimicking the acts of Christ. The proof of salvation is not in your works. Works are to glorify our Father, which is in heaven, after we get saved. The proof of salvation is the Holy Spirit of God letting you know in your heart that he's real. That born again, being born of the Spirit, born from above, is the text of that. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." When that peace came in, the peace is actually the lack of that burden of feeling that trouble of being lost and undone and being a sinner in the sight of a holy God. When that left, peace is lack of those other feelings. And I want you to know this morning, there is feeling in it. There's feeling in serving the Lord. There's feeling in salvation. You can't have godly sorrow or guilt without feeling something. It's impossible. You can't say, "Yes, I'm guilty, but I don't really feel guilty, but I'm guilty, then you're not there yet. There's a feeling of guilt. There's a feeling of when you're ashamed. It's a feeling when you feel sorrow. It affects our physical part of our minds and our bodies and our hearts spiritually. And that godly sorrow, you can feel it. And just as much as you can feel the godly sorrow, you can feel the peace. And the Bible talks about it this way, that it's the peace that passeth understanding. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace." This is Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm glad this morning I've got peace. Listen, a lot of turmoil in the world we live in, but I've got a refuge. I've got a place of peace. In the center of God's will is the center of the hurricane, if you will. And all these winds are blowing all around and everything going on and all this stuff can really get you disheartened, can it? But I've got this place that I can go in the cleft of the rock being Jesus, where he can just keep me and calm me, calm my spirit. It's a great thing to sup with the Lord, to be able to talk to him, and not only talk to him, he talks back to us. I know his voice. Listen, I know that I've passed from death unto life. There's no doubt there was a change in me that day that I got saved. It was noticeable when I bowed down and I cried to the Lord mightily, and when he gave me that peace, and it just, that burden left. And then after peace, you know what come? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I realize that burden that I've been struggling with for so long, it's gone. And then there was just joy. And the night that I got saved, I was on an altar about over on this side of the church, and I remember I just laid there and I felt that joy, and actually the church was actually rejoicing because we were in revival meeting, and Brother Bruce Adamson, some of you may know him, he announced his calling to the ministry that night. And they were all rejoicing and everything. Well, during all that time, I stopped hearing all them and got down and really in trouble with the Lord. And there was a few moments of time there that I don't really know what they were doing. Didn't care what they were doing. But when the joy came in, I didn't get up. I didn't tell no one. I just laid there and I thought, man, this is wonderful. I got up that night, went out. It was on a Friday night. I went out, just felt like I was floating, just happy, nothing, no concern in the world. And the next night, we went to revival, and there was this sister. She sat in, we had an A women corner and an A men corner, I guess it was. In the A women corner, there was a sister that she started heading back the aisle because they gave an altar call, and I just sat back there. I was just singing that night and just joyful. And she come back and she said, "Monty, do you feel like you need to pray?" And I said, "Nope." She said, "Oh, okay, why not?" And I said, "Because the Lord saved me last night." Oh, good. She didn't tell it for me. She just hugged me. She went back up and sat down. And before too long, I couldn't, there, that joy and that peace and the Holy Spirit started moving me and said, "You need to tell it." And I got up and told what God had done for me on that altar that night. Listen, you need to have an experience between you and God. I have that time and place. You know, for many years, you know, we sing that song. It was on a Monday. It was on a Tuesday. The Lord touched me. And I used to always stand up on a Saturday because I was an 11-year-old boy, and I couldn't remember. I thought it was a Saturday. Several years back now, I went to the home church where I grew up, Freedom Missionary Baptist Church up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I went and asked them if I could look at their old record books. They were in a filing cabinet in the back of the church there, and they opened it up for me, and I started looking. And I got down to where they they've kept really good records, and I'm glad they did. Told all about that night. There was like nine of us saved in that revival and was baptized on that Sunday. But it told in there in the minutes that I got saved. I got up and announced I got saved on Friday. So now I stand up on Friday. And some people don't know exactly which day it was. It don't matter, but you know there was a day. That's the important part, isn't it? You know there was a day where God changed your heart. I believe that a person can know that they're saved because it's revealed unto them by the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a few scriptures on that. It says in Romans 8 and 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness, or gives proof. That's what this means. Gives proof with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm glad I got a spiritual knowing of God. Like I said, I hear his voice and I know. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they won't follow another. I'm glad that God can let us know that he's real. He reveals it himself unto us by his Spirit. He says this, 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, and this was the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Apostle Paul talking about preaching in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Have you ever felt the power of God? Ain't it amazing? Listen, that he said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. Listen, there ain't nothing this morning that's not in control of God. He's in control of all of it. Even sometimes we say, well, it just doesn't seem like we're winning the battle. Listen, God, the whole book is this. God wins. I mean, that's the end of the story. And we keep looking to keep our focus on those things above. We'll be a lot happier, won't we? And people will start noticing that person is joyous even in times of trouble. You know, we go through trouble sometimes, and God can use that to affect other people. What we go through and the trials and tribulations and how we act and react can have an effect on other people. God's people, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. Because no matter what happens, no matter what my journey is, I've got something better to look forward to. And if I keep looking up and I keep my mind and my heart on those things, it's hard to get you down when the Lord is in your heart and in your life. Here's 1 Corinthians 2 and 10. It says this, but God hath revealed them to us. This is where it says, I want to back up here a little bit. It says, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither hath entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. And a lot of preachers, I hear them stop right there, that eye's not seen. We can't imagine, and we can't fully imagine, but that we can't imagine all the things God has for those that love him. But here's the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've got glimpses of heaven through the spiritual realm when God moves me and that spring of living water bubbles up inside of me. Friends, that's just a foretaste of it reveals through his Spirit unto me what God has prepared. If we can feel those things in this finite body and sinful body and in our heart and feel the goodness of God and the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, you know what that word shed means? It means to gush out or run greedily. I don't know about you, but when God's love just floods my soul, friends, I don't hate anybody. I don't worry about nothing. It's just a wonderful place to be when God just floods your soul with his love. And friends, if we could let that love come out into action in our life, people's going to say, I want what that person, give me a drink of that stuff. I need a drink of that living water. Give me some of it. Because boy, it sure does look enticing. It looks good. Friends, love is an attractive thing. That's what people are looking for. They're just looking in all the wrong places, but everybody's searching for love. And God's people have this love shed in their heart, and it seems like we've capped it up, and we've let things get in the way of expressing that. Listen, I don't hate people that don't believe like me. I love their souls. I feel for them. I want to reach them with the gospel and with that love that God's given me. We got to be careful not to become self-righteous and look down our noses at people. But for the grace of God, there I go. I'm thankful to know God's Spirit today. Thankful for that love that He shed abroad in my heart. The Bible says He's a guy, He's full of mercy and truth. He's full of grace. He's rich in mercy and grace. We serve a God that's still in control. And I believe that everyone needs true, heartfelt salvation. You need to know, not just hope so, not just think so, but know so. Know that you've been, listen, the scriptures tells us, we know we have passed from death. We know we've passed from death into life. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, ye hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, I believe you can know when you become alive in Christ Jesus. You can know that you passed from death into life. You can know that you went from darkness to the light. There's a lot of different examples in the scriptures that hearing His voice, that we know His voice. Friends, I believe you can know that it's revealed unto you that you need a revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ to be saved. For by grace are you saved, is what He said, continuing in Ephesians 2. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know that I never have become worthy of salvation? And you know I never will. The thing that's saving me is the righteousness imputed unto me by Jesus Christ. I'm not going to make it to heaven because I did good works or I preached for so many years. Though you can put up treasures in heaven, but that didn't get me to heaven. And I believe we ought to preach and teach good works to glorify our Father which is in heaven. And He uses us as instruments to get the gospel out and to preach His word and to teach the church's responsibility to teach them all whatsoever things I have commanded them. And He says, lo, I be with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we have a great responsibility to teach those things, how to put in action in our life those things in the scriptures that says are good. But that's not why I'm saved. Grace is unmerited favor, that I never deserved it. I never will deserve it. And if you think about that, if I never deserved it, how could I ever lose it? You know, to take it away, you'd have to say, I don't like how you're acting, so I'm taking this eternal life away from you. And He's going to say, you don't deserve it anymore. I never deserved it in the first place. That's why it was of grace. You see, I'm saved by grace. And I know that I'm saved because His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of the King. Ain't it good to be saved today? See, when I look up and look at what I've got, you can either spend your life looking at what you don't have, or you can recognize that you got more than you ever deserved. And when we get that kind of heart, friends, you'll get a people. I see your sign. I love it. You're now entering the mission field. That is truth. When you go out these doors is where the mission field begins, and it starts. You want to change America? It's going to start one heart at a time. It starts with you. How much could just this group of people here today, if we really got our hearts, I said, Lord, in the next year, just help me point someone to Jesus. Help me reach out to them with love that they might want to hear the gospel and they might get under conviction and get saved. If we've spent the energy that we've spent on social media and all the different outlets to express our views and our thoughts about politics, friends, I got to think about it, and I'm guilty of this. I'm not pointing my fingers at you. I'm telling me today. If I expended that same energy in prayer and meditation and God and reading of God and studying God's word and spending my time just, Lord, give me a person or a family. Give me somebody I can affect. It wouldn't take long. Our country would look a lot different, I believe. Don't be hateful to them because they're ignorant. What do you think sinners are supposed to act like? We can't make them Baptists until they get saved. That's the first step. The doctrine of salvation is of utmost importance. God changes their hearts. God can then work and change their minds and their actions. So I have a great hope for our nation. I have a great hope for Belize. Belize is a very religious nation, but I want them to know the truth. I want them to know true salvation. And when you ask a person, tell me about being saved, if friends, the elements aren't there, that there was a godly sorrow and then there was this peace, however they express that. I had my father-in-law expressed it to me. He had a heart attack and got saved in the hospital. Said they was rolling him down through the emergency room, and he's looking up the lights, and he said, I was praying. He said, and is what he called it, came over me and told me that I was okay. He said, I just felt like I didn't worry. I wasn't worried about it. He thought he was dying. He's having a heart failure. However it's expressed, it just has to lead to the same thing. There has to be certain elements in a testimony. You pray for me as I go to Belize and we try to preach the gospel. The good news. And friends, there's good news today. Lift up your hearts and praise the Lord for this day. God's in control. And whether, you know, the Lord's church, here's the thing. The Lord's church, it doesn't change what we need to do no matter what happens politically in our world. It doesn't change a thing this morning, does it? We come in here and we're going to worship the Lord. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If you've got that determination, and you should have in your hearts, friends, it don't matter what. If they come in and they start hauling us out and beating us like they did in the beginning of our nation in Virginia, they come in the pulpits and they beat them and they pulled them out. And you know what they did? They crawled back in the pulpit bleeding and preached the gospel. They took them to jail and they preached through the bars of the prison. And you know what happened? Listen, you might think persecution is a bad thing. Friends, in the beginning of our country, it was people got saved through that. So listen, sometimes when we think, you know, God lost a battle, he might have won the battle. Whatever it is, whatever comes, you know, I find the apostles, they went away rejoicing that they were worthy they were beaten, and that they were worthy to suffer for his name. What an attitude. We need that attitude. Not a self-righteous attitude is look at all them, you know, awful people and this hate that's going around, it seems like. There's just an arrogance about it. Friends, understand, I pray for them. I want them to be saved if they're not. The ones, I don't know who's saved and who's not. Only God knows that. But I know that I know that God is real. And I hope, listen, I don't know anyone here. I don't know your hearts. I've known Brother Key Dillard for years, and others of you that are here. Some of you I've met the last time I was here, but I don't know you personally very well. But I want to tell you this. The only one I know for sure about is me. I want you to be for sure for you. And if you this morning, listen, I've preached messages before and asked people to come to the altar and seek the Lord that was lost. And even one time I even had a preacher that was there that came forward and was praying, said he wasn't sure whether he really got saved. And I didn't look down on him for that. Friends, if you don't know, you need to talk to the Lord. And that's Baptist. This is part of the doctrine of salvation, that if you're lost or if you are confused, the encouragement ought to be the same. And that is, go to the Lord. And I've actually heard people and had to rebuke people at times in revivals when someone said that I'm confused. And my encouragement to them was, well, let's pray. You need to pray. You need to get God to unconfuse you. He's the only one that can let you know. And I've seen people go tell a young person that is doubting their, and even some of them were older people, doubting their salvation. And people go, oh, now I was there when you got saved. There's no doubt in my mind you got saved. It doesn't matter whether you doubt if they got saved or not. What matters is what has God told them? Never encourage someone that they are saved. Just encourage them to seek the Lord. I believe that's a vital part of the doctrine of salvation, is that we can't tell anybody whether they're saved or not. Don't you let anybody assure you of salvation other than the Holy Spirit of God. That's good enough. When you get it, it'll be there. Listen, if someone can talk you into being saved, they can talk you out of being saved. But here's the thing. No one talked me into being saved. The Holy Spirit of God saved me, gave me the gift of eternal life, took away that burden and gave me peace, revealed unto me His realness through His Spirit being born again. I had a supernatural experience with God. People say, well, I don't believe in UFOs and I don't believe in extraterrestrial beings and all of this, friends, and I don't know about none of that. I'm just going to ask them a question. If there's another planet out there with people on it, which I don't believe there is, but first thing we need to ask them is, do you know Jesus? Because God made it all. And I know this, that His Spirit can give you assurance. And if you don't have that this morning, I pray you find it. Bow down yourself somewhere. Don't live a lie. Listen, you can make yourself feel a little bit better. There's what I call a band-aid salvation, where you fill your life full of good moral things, and you come to church every Sunday. And we had one sister at a church I pastored that she was a Sunday school teacher and different parts, but she never really got saved. And it wasn't long she let the church know, said, you know, I don't really have it. And it was so glorious as she prayed and finally got the real thing. And she was already she was good at mimicking the acts of Christ. See, I couldn't tell by the outward appearance, you know, she was doing good moral things. She was there every Sunday. She was working in the church and all of this. But friends, if you don't open an account, none of those works will go towards your putting up treasure in heaven. Do you know that? You can take your money and go to a bank down here and put it in a night depository and just keep pumping it in there. And then you go in there and you say, hey, I'd like to take some of that money out now that I've been saving for years. And they're going to say, what's your account number? Oh, I never opened an account. I was just putting it in the night depository. That's what the Bible says. That Jesus is going to say, they're going to say, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name and cast out devils and all these things? And He's going to say, depart, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Listen, the most basic thing, you've got to open an account first before you can put up treasures in heaven. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The doctrine of salvation is a vital doctrine. It's number one. It's where it's got to start. You must be born again. It doesn't say you must go mimic the acts of Christ. That comes after you get saved. And we got to be careful. Don't get the cart before the horse. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I pray that you'll get there. And it's nothing to be embarrassed about. Listen, there's lots of people that's been thought they were saved or were deceived themselves and had to come out and say, you know, listen, there's no one here in this church, I'll guarantee you, that is going to make fun of someone that comes out and says, you know, I don't think I got it. No one. And I want to tell you this. We sing an old song that says, I've never been sorry. And I want you to know that's the case. I've never found a person yet that truly got saved that said, boy, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I sought the Lord, and I'm sorry that he gave me peace. And I've never heard anybody say that, and I don't believe I ever will. If you get the true thing, it'll make you happy all the way to heaven in your soul. I'm thankful so much for this church. I'm praying for you. I know you need a pastor. And sometimes looking for a pastor takes a while to get the right man. God can lead you to the right man. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm praying to that end. And I know you are too. Don't get discouraged. Look up to where your help comes from. Look up to him. He can see you through. There's a reason for everything. Sometimes we don't understand it, do we? But I know this, God, that all things work together for good. Those that love God and are called according to his purpose, and I believe that. You don't have to, listen, faith is all about, you don't have to know why. And sometimes I ask the question why, and things happen in my life, and I say, Lord, why is this happening? And you know what God gave me the answer? Back when Addie was real sick and I was really down, and I said, and I asked that question to God, I'm ashamed to tell you I did. Lord, why? And you know what his answer to me was? Came in my heart. He said, why not? And I felt about that big. Because that's the truth. Why would I think I'm more special than anybody else in this world that has to go through trials and tribulations? Why would I think that I'm something? Listen, if you want to talk about the one thing when my kids were growing up that they knew they better not say to me was, it's not fair. I just can't stand that. A person that goes around thinking all the time, it's just not fair. I'm a victim all the time. Listen, if you want to know what unfair is, I don't have to look any further than Jesus. It's not fair that he died for me. It's not fair that he had to go through what he went through for someone like me. That's not fair. But I can't say anything in my life is not fair. I'm saved. I've got it all. And so do you. This life is short. It says it's as a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Some of us are going to be gone soon. And you that are younger are going to have to take over. Listen, y'all take that serious. How are you going to do? What are we going to do? The world's changing, isn't it? Listen, I believe this. Belize may be a place where God's people have to flee to one day. If that's the case, God help me, whatever needs to take place there. But you don't never know. Listen, the church has been through every kind of government there is. And dictators and monarchs and democracy and all the different things. And the Lord's church is still here. And we've had a chance here in this nation for 240 years to have this freedom that we have. But there's no guarantee that says we expect that to continue. If it doesn't, It doesn't change anything that I have to do. I've still got to worship the Lord. I've still got to preach the gospel. It should not take me years now. I hear people saying they took prayer out of schools. They can't do that. Listen to what we're saying. It's not fair. We're blaming everybody else is the problem. Why? That the church isn't flourishing. The reason church doesn't flourish has everything to do with us. It doesn't have to do with the rest of the world. It has to do with us following the world and the culture of our society. If we want to see a change, we got to turn around. We got to stop going with the flow. And I see a lot of young people doing that. I'm encouraged by our young families that I see them have a great desire to bring their children up and to teach them and admonish them in the Lord. That's encouraging to me. It's encouraging our churches are trying to get to teach them whatsoever I've commanded you. When I grew up, there wasn't a lot of teaching. We had a lot of preaching of the gospel, but we didn't have a lot of teaching that we were doing to the young people. It's a great blessing to have that. So I want you to know, I'm not saying, boy, we're just in terrible shape and it's a loss. That's not where I'm at all. I'm encouraging you that, friends, don't let the noise drown out what you're supposed to be doing. And if persecution comes, the Bible says, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. That's what he said. Just take it. Just take it and keep going. Just raise your head up and love them anyway. And just keep loving them. That's what Jesus did. He told us if they smite you on one side, turn around and give them the other. They take your coat, give them your shirt. Pray for them that despitefully use you and do good to those that do wrong to you, to heap coals of fire on their head. If we take God's advice, he gave us an answer of how we can reach people. We just need to go do it. I'm encouraged. I'm going to Belize Saturday. You pray for us. They've got, we've been shut out of the country for all these months for COVID restrictions. We thought we had a van donated and we was going to drive down there when the border opens, but they're saying now the borders aren't going to open till next year sometime. And they opened their airport, and when they opened their airport, they said the airport's only open to tourists that are coming to stay in all-inclusive resorts. You can't rent a car, you can't leave that resort. So that didn't do me no good. So I thought, well, Lord, we'll just keep waiting. And then there was one day I watch on Facebook because we're looking for a house to rent there. And there's this house that is on a 500-acre chocolate farm, cocoa trees. And it was for rent. And I decided to contact the guy and was talking back and forth with him on WhatsApp. And he's from Virginia originally, but lives in Belize now. And we got to talking, and I told him what I was doing. I was a missionary. I'm coming down there to do mission work in Belize, but I can't find a way in the country. But when we can, we're going to rent a house. And he said, you can come now if you rent a house. He said, it's called a long-term non-national. And so you can come in as a resident. If you have a copy of a signed lease agreement here in Belize, you can come. Boy, I was excited. I got off with him. Well, it didn't work out for that house. He had some regulations and stuff we couldn't live with. He didn't want us to have anybody come spend the night with us. And if we did, we had to pay $25 a night per person and all this. And that just don't work with mission work. My home is going to be open to the people of the mission or family coming down or friends coming down to visit, preachers coming for revival meetings. I mean, we'll put Baptist pallets on the floor and we'll sleep everybody. But that opened the door to that thought, so I started looking into it more, and there's a woman, we stayed in her cottages when we were there last time, very nice lady. She's been listening to the radio program. We're praying that she gets saved, and her son also, but she got to showing us pictures of homes that were for rent in the area we want to live in. And so we started talking to some of the people about them, but we was, matter of fact, I'll tell you this, one of them, we get the person's number who owns it, and guess where they're at? Cookeville, Tennessee. He built the house for his mother to retire in down there, and then she passed away before he got to, didn't even get, he's got a second story on it that's not even finished yet. So, but we was afraid to take a house sight unseen, because pictures, it's hard to really tell where it's at exactly, and so we was concerned to do that. So the lady that owns those cottages gave us a 6-month lease in that cottage and signed it for us at, and listen to this, $325 a month. And that includes utilities and everything. And it's, I mean, it's just basic little cottage, a studio. It's got a kitchen, a bathroom, a kitchen table, and beds. But we're tickled to have it. And it's a way to get us there. And this woman has just really been good to us and help us. We also have, she's got a family there that has a little girl. She's 5 years old, and we're looking for she's got something wrong with her. They don't know what's wrong with her. Their health care there is almost non-existent. They just, she can't walk and she can't talk, and she's 5 years old, and they don't know why. But they had to carry her everywhere. And so we're looking for it's not really a stroller. It's a jogging stroller with the big wheels, because the roads there are gravel in the village they live in. And so a regular stroller you couldn't push. So we're trying to get that together for that little family in need. But there's so much work there. I'm just trying to be specific, because I want you to really pray specifically for some things. Let me tell you what else God has done. When we got ready to, once we signed a lease agreement, now they've freed up, you can rent a car. We wasn't going to have to hire transportation that was certified COVID transportation to take us to the house. And then we was going to have to quarantine for 10 days at the house. And we have to have a test, a PCR COVID test, negative test, within 72 hours of our flight landing. Well, that's really difficult to do right now. You can't get a test back that quick. And so we was talking about it at church Wednesday night. We at Buffalo Springs, where I'm a member, we had a prayer meeting. And I mentioned that. Please pray for that, because what happens is if you don't have a test, you have to take a test at the airport there. And if you test positive at the airport, they take you straight to this Ramada Hotel in Belize City, which is not a nice Ramada like we have here. And you have to quarantine there until you can test negative. And that was one of our greatest fears, is to get there and take this test and it being positive, and we have to take us to this hotel. And was really concerned about that. And we thought, well, Lord, and I was talking to Dr. Mike Collins about it. And Dr. Mike Collins said, well, he said, Brother Monty, whatever happens, the Lord will work it out. He said, the Apostle Paul was put in jail for a lot of years when he wanted to go and on the mission field, and they put him in jail for several years. So it all worked. I said, oh, thanks, Dr. Mike. That's really helpful. But the Lord opened a door through that. When I mentioned that on Wednesday night, our Bible study, Brother Justin Ferris was there, and he come to me, and he said, you know, of course, Justin is a respiratory therapist, and he said, Brother Chris Solomon in Macon County works at the Macon County lab at the hospital. He said, I'm going to call him and see what we can do. So I talked to Chris yesterday. He said, yeah. He said, come down next Thursday. We're leaving on Saturday, so we're going to come on Thursday. And he said, within 6 hours, I'll have your test back. So what a blessing. I mean, God answered that prayer, because that takes just a load off when you get there. Because if you have a negative test within 72 hours, you just go right on through. And we don't have to quarantine for 10 days or nothing. So that was a great blessing. And you just never know. Little things like that, God can use people to help. Just like that man on that Keiko farm. that didn't work out, but I told him, I said, maybe our paths will cross again. He said, yeah, I'd like to meet you when you get here. He lives in the area. And so you just don't know. You just see how God works. I mean, he's just amazing. And so we're encouraged just seeing God move in those ways to help us along. And so just please pray for us. A lot of people in our hearts there to be saved. Brother Lewis Chalk's family, he's got children. He's actually got 12 children. His daughter had a 15-month-old baby in the last month that she started losing blood, and they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And here's how their technology is. She goes to the hospital, and the hospital says, we really need to do a brain scan, but the CAT scan's broke right now. So there's nowhere in the country we can do a CAT scan. And within days, her head began to swell, and she passed away. And she was 15 months old. Just before that, healthy little girl. We'd seen pictures of her. Actually, we met her when she was only like 3 months old when we were there back in January. And it's just, you know, very sad. And just, you know, if it was something here in America, I mean, how blessed are we? If it was here in America, they probably could have saved that child. They could have, I mean, there's all likelihood they would have found it and possibly been able to surgically stop it or even with medications. But there, it's like our scan's broke, so nothing we can do. So we're so blessed here in America. And that's all I got to say, I think. Is that enough? Amen? Yeah, I got an amen, didn't I? We love you all. Thank you for hearing us today. I guess turn it back over to Brother Bill.
You're here, you're lost, you just need to seek the Lord for it's ever less than too late. Don't leave here until you find peace with the Lord. If you're here and you're like you're not with the church, you can come forward and do that also. If you would, this time we'll stand and have a song.
We'll sing Rock of Ages.